This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَانِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتُوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, in the context of the battle of Badr, He tells the believers that remember when Allah promised you one of the two groups, إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَانِ, one of these two groups will be for you. And this is in reference to either the caravan that Quraysh was sending or was coming back from Asham with the wealth of Quraysh, and the Muslims wanted to take the caravan after they had been driven out of their homes, forced to leave their wealth behind. So they wanted this caravan, which was lightly guarded, and it would have been very easy for them to take it. But there was another group, which was the army that Quraysh sent out to fight against the Muslims. Allah says, we promised you one of these two. When you left, you were going to get one of them. وَتُوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتَ شَوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. And you wanted the harmless one to be for you. The one that was not going to be a problem, that was unarmed, that you can just take the caravan easily, no one has to fight. What you didn't want was the army that is way greater than you, and armed and equipped. But Allah wanted them to meet the army. Allah saying, we wanted you to meet the army of Quraysh. Why? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah wanted to establish the truth by His words and to eliminate the disbelievers that were fighting them. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ. That Allah should establish the truth and abolish falsehood. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Even if the criminals hate it. We live in a day and age where it feels like everything is fake. Everything is false. Everything is about spin. How the media spins a story to make what is true look false. To make what is right look wrong. To make what is up look down. How they frame their subjects to show you something and ensure that you do not see something else. We live in a time of fake news, and a time where they can make a person appear and make them speak, and it's not that person, even though it looks like them and it sounds like them. We live in a time where there is so much falsehood, and a time in which the truth is constantly subverted. And I thought in today's khutbah I would do something different than what I usually do. That I would look through the Quran and look at every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions haqq and batil, truth and falsehood. Because as these verses in Surah Al-Anfal about the battle of Badr are showing us, Allah is reminding us that there is an eternal battle, an eternal struggle between truth and between falsehood. And so through understanding what the Qur'an says about haqq and batil, truth and falsehood, we can understand the nature of truth and the nature of falsehood. We can understand the context of this struggle between truth and falsehood. And we can understand the nature of events that we see unfolding before our own eyes. And so the word haqq appears many times in the Qur'an, over 100 times. Batil, many, many times in the Qur'an. But only 13 times in the Qur'an does Allah bring these two terms together, haqq and batil. And so I thought, let's look through the lens of the Qur'an to understand the nature of truth and falsehood. Two times in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions haqq and batil in the context that he himself subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haqq. He is the truth. This is of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Allah says, this is because Allah is the truth. He is al-haqq. And that what they call upon other than Him is falsehood, batil. And that Allah is the most high and the most grand. Everything that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truth. And everything disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is falsehood. There is no truth in this world except that it is connected to Allah. Through His commandments, through His prohibitions, through His words, through His sunnah, through His legislation. The ultimate truth is Allah Azza wa Jal. The ultimate eternal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate unchanging is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything connected to Allah can be true. And everything disconnected from Allah is falsehood. One time Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions haqq and batil in the Qur'an in the context of reminding us that the true believers are the ones who follow Allah Azza wa Jalla. The ones who follow their Lord. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا اتَّبِعُوا الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبَعُوا الْحَقَّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ أَمْثَالَهُمْ. Allah says, this is because those who disbelieve, they follow falsehood. And those who believe, they follow the truth from their Lord. What does it mean to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean that you believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What does it mean that you believe in the Qur'an? That you believe in the Qur'an as a methodology for your life? Is this belief just a feeling in your heart? Is it just words that we say? Or does it have meaning? If someone believes that the gems in the earth are valuable, that the gold and the diamond and the silver is worth something, then they will dig for it. They will extract it from the earth. They will lift it high. They will wear it around their neck. Because it has meaning to them, it has value to them. If somebody says, I don't believe it's valuable, but he strives to get it, and put it, and decorate his home with it, then he's a liar. If someone says he believes it's valuable, but he doesn't care to find it, or to take it, then he's a liar. Likewise, what does it mean to be a mu'min, to be a believer in the haqq, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means اتَّبَعُوا الْحَقَّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. اتِّبَاعَ. It means following the truth from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means acting upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disbeliever acts as well. اتَّبَعُوا الْبَاطِلِ. They act upon the falsehood, upon that which is disconnected from their Lord. And the believer acts upon what is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows you that everyone in this world is an actor. Everyone in this world is acting towards something. What are you really believing in is shown up in your actions. Twice in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the disbelievers argue with falsehood in order to demolish or to hide the truth. They argue with falsehood in order to invalidate or refute that which is true. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُضْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who disbelieve, they dispute by falsehood to invalidate the truth. And they have taken my verses and that which they were warned by in ridicule. وَجَادِلُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُضْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ فَأَخَذْتُهُمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عِقَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they disputed using falsehood in order to invalidate the truth. And so I punished them, I seized them, and how terrible was my punishment. And so this is those who cast invalid arguments, falsehood, that they know is false to try to repel the truth. And twice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the disbelievers try to hide the truth or dress the truth with falsehood. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not mix the truth with falsehood. Do not literally dress the truth with falsehood and conceal and hide the truth while you know. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people of the book, why do you dress the truth with falsehood and conceal the truth while you know? They spin the news. They tell you what is right and wrong. What is aggression? They tell you is peace. What is peace? They tell you is aggression. This is يَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. They take the truth and they hide it with a clothing of falsehood. They conceal it with a clothing of falsehood. And three times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when the truth arrives, the falsehood vanishes. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Allah says, say, the truth has come and falsehood has departed. Indeed, falsehood by its nature is a departing, vanishing thing. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَمَا يُبْدِئُ الْبَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ. Say, indeed, the truth has come and falsehood can neither begin nor can it repeat. And three times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah Azza wa Jalla establishes the truth and He abolishes falsehood. And in one of these verses is a powerful parable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدْرِهَا. Allah sent down water from the sky and the valleys flood according to its capacity. فَاحْتَمَلَ السَّيْدُ زَبَدَ الرَّابِيَةِ وَمِمَّا يُوْقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ ابْتِغَاءَ حِلْيَةٍ أَوْ مَتَاعٍ زَبَدًا مِثْلَهُ كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is bringing us an example of valleys. And the valleys in many places of the world during the summer season either have very little water flowing through it or sometimes are completely dry. And then comes the rainy season, the season where the rain starts to come down. And when the rain starts to come down, the valleys sometimes are overwhelmed with water. And they're just flooding with water coming down the valleys. So Allah is giving you this example. But what happens when the water comes crashing down in these valleys? So much water is flowing through the valley. The zabad, the foam, the froth starts to rise. The foam of the water starts to rise at the top. And all the things that were in that valley, the twigs, the leaves, all that kind of stuff, is at the top as well. And if you're looking at the valley, what strikes your eye is the zabad, is the foam, the whiteness on the top of it that's flooding down. And what you don't really see is the water beneath of it that's carrying the whole stream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. This is the example of truth and of falsehood. أَمَّا الزَّبَدْ. As for the froth, that whiteness, that foam, فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. It will disappear and go to the sides. It will go away. It will be cast aside. But as for the water beneath of it, it will remain. The parable here is that the water coming down from the heavens is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending us the revelation, sending us the truth. And the froth is the evil, the people who want to reject it and sometimes want to hide their evil on top of the truth. They conceal the truth with their evil. And Allah is telling you in the beginning when you see this, all you can see is that foam, is that froth. It is prominent, it is dominant. Such as that you can't even see the water beneath of it. You think that all that is there is the falsehood. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you what happens at the end. Even though the falsehood gets all the attention in the beginning, it's going to be cast away. And what will remain? مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ, that which benefits mankind, which is the truth. The pure water underneath is what remains. Allah is informing us that falsehood, no matter how high it reaches, it's going to fall. No matter how wide it spreads, it will contract. No matter how deep it goes, it will vanish. Falsehood has a tour, has a visitation, has a moment, but the truth is here to stay. Don't be amazed by the rising tide of falsehood. Eventually, the scum is going to be set aside. And be always consistent with the truth, because what will remain is what benefits the people, and that is the truth. Sha'rawi mentions, beautiful paragraph with this, a note where he says, when you see the leaders of falsehood are gaining prominence, he said, no, their time is almost up. Because when the foam and the froth is reaching its height, that's about the time it's going to disappear. And some mufassirun, they say falsehood, by its nature, is arrogant. It lifts itself up. It makes itself seem bigger than it is. But eventually, and the truth stays calm. The truth stays tranquil, like the water, such that people start to wonder, is it even there? But eventually, the falsehood would vanish, and the water remains. Today, when we look at the struggle of truth and falsehood, we should look at it through the prism of all these verses we've discussed. When we see the people of Palestine trying to defend their land, the land that they and their ancestors were born in, to defend the sacred sites of the Muslims, which they are constantly ordered to abandon, to defend the old men who are forcibly removed out of their homes, to defend the women unjustly imprisoned, to defend the children, the innocent children that are brutally killed. And their opponents defend their occupation of land that is not theirs. They defend imprisoning children. They defend obliterating infrastructure. They defend starving people. They defend slaying women and children. They defend killing journalists and doctors in record numbers. And their supporters in America and in the West defend them blindly, unconditionally, no matter what. They dress the truth with falsehood. They insist that they are only acting in self-defense, even though they are the ones who are in the offensive posture. They are the ones who are illegally occupying. They are the ones who do not have a right, even under international law, to defend themselves because they are an illegal occupier. They fight the truth with weapons, with bombs, with soldiers, even with mercenaries, with lawyers, with media experts. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you in the Quran, no matter how great falsehood rises, it will eventually depart. وَجَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Eventually the truth becomes evident. Eventually the falsehood becomes clear. And just the other day, one of the most common media spins that has existed about the issue of Palestine and Israel, and it's believed by so many of these politicians, is the idea that Israel wants a two-state solution and the Palestinians just keep rejecting peace. And of course, the idea of a two-state solution is not moral or fair, because you're telling the Palestinians from Haifa, you're telling the Palestinians from Yaffa that they can't go back to their homes. It's not exactly a moral position. But even this position, the Palestinians have accepted it. But they twist this narrative, and they tell the West, we are the ones who want the two-state solution, and the Palestinians don't want any solution, they only want a war. They teach their kids to fight us. And it's never been the fact. And just yesterday, Netanyahu came out on television, and he said what he's been saying, by the way, for a long time, but he says it in Hebrew, he doesn't say it in English. He said in Hebrew, there will never be a Palestinian state. And that video went viral. And everyone saw it. Even though he said it many times. But nobody saw it in the past. All of a sudden people saw it now. Hiding the truth cannot last forever. Hiding the intentions that they've been hiding cannot last forever. Hiding reality cannot last forever. And you have to believe this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you this. No matter how often they try to suppress the truth, it's going to come out. I remember at the beginning of this conflict, I was speaking to one of the brothers. I was saying, I'm really worried. Palestinians are not going to have electricity. They're not going to be able to show the world what's happening to them. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given them solar-powered batteries and things to get some news out. But what's even more amazing is the Israeli soldiers themselves recording themselves doing crimes and putting it on the internet. Allah makes the truth come out even from their own mouths. This is for us to realize. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish the truth and He will demolish falsehood. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنُّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I want you to think for a moment about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the famous story when he was in Mecca and he was praying at the Kaaba and he was performing sujood. And the leaders of Quraysh, they said, let's bring the dead carcass and entrails of a camel and throw it upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth went and he gathered the entrails of a large camel. And they dragged it all the way to the Kaaba and they threw it on the Prophet ﷺ while he was praying. And it was heavy on his back. He couldn't move it because it's a lot, it's heavy. A camel is very large. And they're laughing at the Prophet ﷺ. And the filth and the blood of this camel is rolling down the face of our Prophet ﷺ. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, I was there but I couldn't do anything. He's a slave. If he said, لو كان لي منع, if I only had like 10 people around me, 10 supporters, we would have went and helped the Prophet. He said, but I'm by myself. If I go, they're going to kill me. I'm nothing. I'm a slave. They'll just kill me right away. And so someone sent the message to Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, go help your father. So this young girl runs into the masjid and pushes it off of the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet ﷺ gets up and he turns towards these leaders of Quraysh. We're all laughing hysterically. And he makes dua against them one by one. Allahumma alayka bi Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. Allahumma alayka bi Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth. Each one by one, he makes dua against them. Ibn Mas'ud said, I saw each and every one the Prophet ﷺ made dua against, their bodies being dragged on the day of Badr. They dragged their bodies to the wells, they threw them in the wells. That's how they buried them. And on the last day that they were in Badr, when the Prophet ﷺ came to leave, he took the companions back to the well that they buried them. And the Prophet ﷺ spoke to them in the wells. And he said to them, هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا فَإِنِّي قَدْ وَجَدْتُ مَا وَعَدَ رَبِّي حَقًّا Have you seen the promise of your Lord to be true? Because I, by Allah, have seen the promise of my Lord to be true. Allah promised me victory and I have seen it. And Allah promised you punishment. Have you seen it? And He says this to each and every one of them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do we do to get this victory from al-haq subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do we do to have this haq? One of it is to affirm the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would affirm to himself. Every single day he would make dua, Allahumma anta al-haq. Oh Allah, you are the truth. Wa wa'duka haq. Your promise is true. Wal jannatu haq. Wal naru haq. And paradise is true. And the hellfire is true. Wal nabiyyuna haq. And the prophets are true. He affirms in himself the truth every day. Reminds in himself, this is true. This is reality. Don't think this is fake. This is the reality. The Prophet believed in the promise of Allah, even when he was by himself, even when nobody could stand up to help him. And Allah gave him victory just a couple of years later. And the Prophet ﷺ would make the dua often, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'a. Oh Allah, show us the truth to be true and allow us to follow it. It's not enough to just say you believe it, but to follow it as well. وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا. And show us the falsehood as false and allow us to avoid it. Second is to be the people of truth. Be people of truth. In that same battle of Badr, imagine the beginning of that battle. The Muslims are only 300. They're facing an enemy of over 1,000, 1,200, 1,300. They're outnumbered. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I was traveling to Medina and some of Quraysh captured me. And because I'm not Qurayshi, and because my tribe has no problem with Quraysh, they said, we'll let you go. On the condition that you never fight against us. So he goes to the Prophet and he says, I made this promise to them. Me and my father, we made this promise to them. What do we do? And the Prophet is on the battlefield, he needs every man. They are 300, they're facing over 1,000. The Prophet says, fulfill your promise. So they literally sat aside on the battlefield and did not participate because they made this promise. When you stand up for the truth, when you have a commitment to the truth in your homes, with your families, in your communities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true, al-haq, He will give us victory. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's be people of truth. One of the biggest problems of facing an enemy is sometimes you want to copy the way of your enemy. But they're not our teachers. They are not our teachers. As Umar al-Mukhtar said, what they do is not our role models. Our role models is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We abide by the truth, we speak the truth, we stand up for the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the victory in ways that you would never expect it.